Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily, Joe Giglio with you. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast here. Of course, our YouTube page, 94WIP. Check it out there. Ton of video content from on-air at WIP. Of course, all our podcasts as well. And the reactions live after games. And game one of the Knicks and Sixers series did not go our way here in Philadelphia. That was a frustrating loss because there were moments early, moments third quarter, you felt like the Sixers were going to be the better team and pull away and steal game one up at Madison Square Garden. It didn't go that way. Of course, a Joel Embiid knee re-aggravation, whatever that was. Very little lift in the fourth quarter. They were talking about on the broadcast. The scare when he went up, I thought that was a reckless play for Joel Embiid, you know, just a few games back, just, you know, a couple of weeks back off the injury, to take a chance like that, that he could land awkwardly on his knee. Did not like that. And look, Joel played valiantly, and he fought, and he came back, and he's giving what he has. Unfortunately, what he has was not enough, and he didn't play well enough in the fourth quarter, but Mitchell Robinson really gave him a lot of trouble. Joel does not like those physical centers, never has. So the Sixers have a must-win tonight, and I don't want to hear that they have two in a row at home coming up next, and it's not a must-win. It is a must-win tonight for the Philadelphia 76ers. If the goal is to win the series, I believe the Sixers have to win this game tonight. Have to win this game. The way this Knicks team strikes me, they strike me as a team where they're role guys. You know, but Josh Hart, specifically Josh Hart. But, I mean, go to what they got out of McBride on Saturday night. I mean, the guy was unbelievable with 21 points. But I think about Bogdanovich. I think about McBride. I think about Josh Hart. Hartenstein, I think these guys are the kind of players that will play way, way better at home with the crowd on their side in the postseason. So I want no part of a Game 7 up in New York. The Sixers' chance to win this series, if they can win it, is 6 at home in Philadelphia. So I need tonight to make that possible. I need tonight to make that realistic in some sort of way. Must win tonight. All right, so I've got some things the Sixers need to change. Some big picture changes they need to make to knock off the Knicks, win game two, and give themselves a real chance to win this series. Number one, and it should be number one for anyone to watch that game. The Sixers need to wake up and rebound the basketball better than they did on Saturday. That was egregious. It was second chance after second chance after second chance for the New York Knicks. It was a joke what I watched on Saturday night. 55-33 on the boards, plus 22 for New York. That's unacceptable. It is unacceptable on the boards. The biggest culprit is obviously Joel Embiid not being able to get lift and not wanting to use the energy he has in the legs, in the knee, on the rebounding end. You saw it. I mean, I thought The play where the Knicks got their final offensive rebound late in the game, you know, whatever, 20, 30 seconds left in the game, Josh Hart runs in and basically steals the ball. It was a rebound, but it was, you know, he basically snatched it out of midair from where Embiid was standing. Embiid's going 70% on that play, Josh Hart going 110. It encapsulated the game. The Knicks rebound 110%. The Sixers do not. And you saw it all night long, 23-9 on the offensive glass, 23 offensive rebounds. I don't care how much better you think the Sixers' best players are. If they allow 23 offensive rebounds in the NBA playoffs, they're going to lose. I mean, that's the bottom line. You can't give teams in the NBA today where they take so many threes and the Knicks, you know, are a solid three-point shooting team that's going to make 35-40% on any given night, unless they're having a really bad shooting night. You can't give teams extra shots. I think the Knicks had 10 more shots than the Sixers, yet the turnover battle was pretty much even. It wasn't like there were extra possessions the Sixers were throwing away. No, the Knicks were creating extra possessions in order to get more buckets up and more shots up because their offensive rebounding. So there's been a lot of conjecture the last couple of days. Is Paul Reed the answer to this? I don't know. I don't love the idea of a too big lineup in the modern NBA. You probably get away with it against the Knicks because they don't have remarkable stretch four shooting. Yeah, and they don't have Julius Randle out there with offense. So you probably get away with it. They're probably going to give some run tonight to a Paul Reed to see what he's got along with Joel Embiid. But their guys on the floor have to rebound better. I mean, that's the bottom line. Joel Embiid has to rebound better. Kelly Oubre has to rebound better. Tobias Harris, we'll get to him, has to rebound better. I mean, that's the bottom line. You know, the Sixers had zero players with double-digit rebounds. Zero. The Knicks had two with at least 12. Their top two guys combined for 25 rebounds. The Sixers' top two guys combined for 17 boards. Okay? That's not going to cut it. It's just frankly not going to cut it. Kelly Oubre is a guy who, you know, we know he can get some rebounds. I mean, Kelly Oubre has had a season where he averaged 5 rebounds a game. You go to some of Kelly Oubre's game logs over the course of the season. Let's just go to the last month or so, and I see 5, 9, 3, 8, 5, 8, 6. Average 6.3 rebounds in the month of April. So, you know, as you go and you look at what he did the other night, to only have 3 is unacceptable. Kelly Oubre has to rebound better. Tobias Harris, when he's out there, has to rebound better. Joel Embiid has to rebound much better. 8 rebounds in 37 minutes for a big, as big as Joel Embiid, the biggest and best player on the floor. It's not acceptable. It's unacceptable, and it's why the Sixers allowed the Knicks to have so many free chances. Number one is rebounding tonight. I'm not sure the answer is actually Paul Reed. I think the answer is the guys on the court have to rebound better. All right, next key to changing this series is less Tobias Harris. This is, at this point, a total joke. 31 minutes, 7 points, 3 of 7 from the field. Only attempted 7 shots from the field. Tobias Harris looks lost. He had an egregious, I mean a joke, of a turnover early in the game where he just, it was like a quarterback throwing its double coverage and it was just picked off easily. The kind of play you like, you throw your remote at the ground and you're like, what did I just watch? Like, what am I watching? He seems disengaged. He seems checked out. I don't love when I see stories last week that, you know, there's already stories out there about where he's going to sign in free agency when he's not here next year. The countdown is on to Tobias Harris and the end of his contract. But he's got to give them a little bit more now. Nick Nurse, when asked on Saturday night about getting him going, didn't seem thrilled with the question and said we got to get everybody going. But now we may have to see less of him. I'm not sure how many minutes Nick Batum could play at this point. I'd rather see Nick Batum out there. He obviously had a much less of a game this game than he did against the Heat last week. But I'd rather see Nick Batum out there in his spot. I wouldn't mind getting Ricky Council some more minutes and going a little bit smaller. I don't care what they do, but I got to get Nick Batum on the court, and I have to get Tobias Harris off the court. I just can't give him 31 minutes. I can't. Not with the way he's playing. At least with Batum, I'm getting defense. I'm getting shot, you know, ability to hit the three-point shot, and I'm getting no fear, and I'll get a better passer. Now, you know, what will Batum do in 30 minutes? I don't know. But I'm willing to give Batum way more run than I am willing to give Tobias Harris. You know, if you want to chop up Tobias Harris's minutes and give 10 more of them to Nick Batum, and you want to give 10 more of them to Paul Reed and play Batum 35 or 30, you know, 30 to 35, you play Paul Reed 20, and then you get Ricky Council some minutes, and we drop Tobias Harris down to 10. I'm totally good with that. I think we all should be good with that because he's not doing anything to help the team. It's not shot making. It's not 3-point shooting. It's not defense. Obviously, it's not rebounding when everyone's getting offensive rebounds over him. It's not happening. And he just doesn't look ready for the moment. I mean, I can't. If I watch Tobias Harris take one more shot that misses the rim by 5 feet, I'm going to lose my mind. This is the playoffs. We got to get him off the court. All right. Next key to changing this series for the Sixers. Can the real Buddy Hield show up, or could the Buddy Hield the Sixers thought they were getting show up? My goodness. The fear of God. Those are the words of Daryl Morey. He said that when they traded for this guy, that he puts the fear of God in defenses. Fear of God. Can I just get him to take a shot? Can I get him to take a 3-point shot when he has the basketball in his hands? You know, Buddy Hield was billed as this 3-point marksman. He played 11 minutes the other night. He shot the ball twice, once from downtown. He had a personal foul. He had an assist. I mean, he almost had zeros across the... He almost was 0 for the field, 0 rebounds, 0 points, and only had the personal foul. Thank goodness he had one assist. My goodness gracious. Buddy Hield's got to give them more. I mean, I'm watching McBride for the Knicks come on the court, and it's just 3 after 3 after 3. That's what Buddy Hield's here for. He's here to be the McBride. And obviously, you know, he's a higher profile player. He's been in the league a long time and made a ton of threes and all that. I need Buddy Hield. I'm going to check right now where Buddy Hield ranks all-time NBA threes. I mean, this isn't a nobody. You know, Buddy Hield has had a career in the NBA of making and attempting three-pointers. I know he's not ever been a true superstar, even a star, but like Buddy Hield in the history of professional basketball is 22nd all-time in three-pointers made. 22nd all-time. 22nd all time in three-pointers made. Okay, he's made more three-pointers in his career than Kobe Bryant, more than Peja Stojakovic, Rashard Lewis. I mean, Peja was a three-point marksman, more than Dale Ellis, more than Steve Nash. He made more threes in his career than Glenn Rice. Okay, this guy has been a three-point shooter from the day he walked in the NBA. 1,924 career three-pointers. 600 more than Dan Majerle. And I know the league was different back then. But holy moly, 600 more than Allen Houston. This list is remarkable, by the way. Look at all these names. I mean, the guy has almost 2,000 career three-point shots made. Made! Not just attempted, made. Okay, Dennis Scott, who was kind of a Buddy Hield of his time, made 1,200. This guy has made in his career 1,924 threes, and on a good percentage. Buddy Hield's a career 40% three-point shooter. 40% three-point shooter. What are we doing? Shoot the basketball. Get me some points. Okay, last thing here for the Sixers that they're going to have to change if they're going to win tonight and change the series. And with the Hield thing, just in general, they got to take more threes. But I'm pointing to Hield to be the guy to do it. They each had 35 three-point attempts. I need the Sixers to have 5 more three-point attempts than the Knicks. I need to have more threes. Daryl Morey would have to agree with this. I need more three-point attempts. The percentages will even themselves out. Give me more attempts. Okay, last one. Late in the game, if Joel Embiid doesn't have lift again, and I have reason to believe based on the broadcast, based on my eyes, based on him going 0 for 5 from the field, 0 for 2 from 3, 0 rebounds in the fourth quarter, that Joel Embiid couldn't lift in the fourth quarter. He was a stationary player. He was on-the-ground player. He was the old guy at the pickup game who can't jump anymore. That was him in the fourth quarter playing in an NBA game with a bunch of guys that can leap. That was the fourth quarter. He had no lift. And I understand after the way he played against the Heat on Wednesday that, you know, Joel, you're trusting in the fourth quarter. He made some good passes. He had a great front court, you know, lead pass on Saturday to help them get an easy bucket. So Joel's been a better passer so far in these big games than he ever has been before, and I appreciate that. But if Joel Embiid has no lift and the whole world knows it, the offense can't go through him in the fourth quarter. It just simply can't. It's got to go through Tyrese Maxey in the fourth quarter of the game. He got to the basket on Saturday at will, whenever he wanted, and his finishing ability on Saturday was incredible. Not good. It was great. His touch to put the layup in around the rim is the best I've seen in the NBA since Kyrie Irving really became a star. And Kyrie Irving's as good as I've ever seen. Kyrie Irving's probably the best finisher I've ever seen for a little guy at the rim. You know, Kyrie, Allen Iverson, you think about those guys when just going to the basket up among the trees and finishing, not just getting fouled, I mean finishing, finding a way with a move or a duck under to get the ball in the basket among the big guys. And the Knicks have good defensive big men. As we saw, Mitchell Robinson, and mostly Robinson, but him and Harsey gave Embiid trouble all night. They're physical, they're long, they know how to play the angles, they're really good. But Maxey's as good as anybody in the league at getting to the basket and finishing. In the fourth quarter, I need the offense to go through Tyrese Maxey. He could drain threes from any distance, and he could get to the basket. That, again, I'm not saying he's Steph Curry, but that was the game that Steph Curry had. Now, Maxey's better at the rim, not quite as efficient from three, but it's not that dissimilar. It's a small guard who could get to the basket, finish around the basket, make his free throws, and also launch some big threes. Maxey plays that kind of game. It's just more of the axis is pointed more towards driving than it is the three-point shot, but he's obviously a good three-point shooter too. I need the ball in his hands. The offense has to go through him. He's got to be the guy who takes those shots late. He's got to be the guy driving the offense. Take the shot. Because if I'm taking a tired, 2 inches off the ground jump shot from Embiid, it's probably going to miss. That's not what I need late in the game. The Sixers still have a legitimate chance to win this series. It's a must-win tonight. They lost game one despite playing good defense on Brunson. Now, can that continue? Will Brunson be as cold? We'll see. And then they have a good plan for Brunson. I thought Maxey played him better than I thought he would and really showed his athleticism and length and leaping ability to make life hard on Brunson. But the Sixers went to New York and they got the worst of Brunson and they still lost. Worrisome, yes. Am I fearful? Is it over? No, but they got to win tonight. They got to win tonight. I need more Maxey than Embiid late. I need a better rebounding effort from everyone, specifically Embiid, Oubre, Harris. I want Harris's minutes cut. Give me more Batum. Give me a little bit of Paul Reed. I'm not trying to go a ton of Paul Reed Embiid minutes. A little bit more Paul Reed. I'll have the rookie council out there for some energy late in the game or just, you know, throughout the game. And the bottom line is this. You know, for the Sixers, they got to shoot more threes. But Buddy Hield has got to be ready to fire. 1,924 threes. 1,924 threes in the NBA, and he looks scared to shoot on Saturday. Cannot happen again. Needed to wake up. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following WIP Daily. Let's go Sixers. We'll talk soon.